Hi, everyone. Earlier in the year, we had a series on blessings. And as part of the working out of that series and to putting these things into practice, we met here at the church 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday in the lead up to Easter. And then more recently, there have been some blessings on the front of the newsletter where you've been able to take away and just to bless over whatever those things have been about. And I know many of you have been really trying to pursue this lifestyle of living the way of a... living out a culture of blessing, and which is really awesome because this is something that's really important for our church and is something that we need to keep pursuing. And I guess this morning that's why I wanted to just to refresh and to go over some of these things again because I really believe this is something for our church. You know, Jim had a... the Lord very clearly told Jim towards the end of last year that that we were actually to... Westover was to create a culture of blessing and that we should step into a way of a blessing. And I know this same topic was on the hearts of quite a few other people. And I know at the staff and elders retreat also, it was something which there was such a unity and such an agreement that this is something our church should pursue. One of the books that many of you have read is The Grace Outpouring by Roy Godwin. And I know if you haven't read that book, I'd highly encourage you to get hold of a copy of it because it's a very powerful book. And many people have copies in the church, so I'm sure if you asked around, you'd find a copy you could borrow. The book was written by Roy Godwin, and both he and his wife run a retreat centre called Faldy Brennan in Wales. And they've been seeing quite a move of God over there, which has largely been... The culture of blessing has been a massive part of that. And people go there and they just have powerful encounters with God. And quite often it's when they've actually blessed the person that they have this encounter with God. It just seems to be a catalyst for God moving powerfully. However, the people at Faldy Brennan didn't just settle for just blessing the people who came to their midst. They started to dream bigger and they started to... have a vision to actually start blessing their community as well, and to start speaking blessings over the marriages and the families and the schools and the just the community in general. And it didn't take long for the fruit of these blessings begin to manifest. You know, they blessed a man whose business in that area wasn't doing very well, and after being blessed, he suddenly his business took off, and he had to move to a bigger premises, and he had to employ a whole bunch of staff. You know, they've been blessing the ewes in the area because this was an agriculture area, and they were blessing them to be strong and productive and healthy. And one farmer was absolutely stunned when he started seeing a whole bunch of triplets and quadruplets being born. And he said, normally you'd just hope to have maybe a few twins here and there, but that's such the power of blessing. One farmer was really excited to show off the huge backside of one of his calves. Apparently farmers hope for a backside like the one he was talking about, maybe once in a lifetime, but he'd seen this happen 2 years in a row, 2 years consecutively. You know, a lady in that area who runs a farmhouse B&B was awarded the Landlady of the Year for the whole of Great Britain, which is pretty impressive. You know, there's power and blessing, and this is something that the body in Christ in general has seemed to have neglected, but fortunately is now starting to be awakened to the importance of it. You know, as the people of Faldy Brennan started to bless their community, they also sort of started to see things like the occult practices start to fall away. Crime rates began to drop as well, and like they had some drug dealers who were operating just on the edge of the forest there. And one of the farmers actually confronted them about it, and they trashed his property. And once they started blessing, though, these drug dealers just completely left the area as well. John Kilpatrick, he was a pastor at Brownsville when they had a revival, and he attributes the culture of blessing they had developed as to one of the reasons that revival came to them. I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail about John Kilpatrick today because I shared that last year a bit, but basically they'd built a new band pit area, a brass pit area, where they'd wanted to get some brass players in to come and join in with their worship. And it was a church of several thousand, but when they put out the appeal for people to come along and volunteer, no one put up their hand at all. John was starting to get quite frustrated by that, and he just started calling the band pit names and kind of cursing it. After a while, he realized that probably wasn't such a good idea, and so he retracted those words, and instead he blessed that area. And within weeks, they suddenly had so many brass players come and volunteer to help out that they actually had to say no to any more players. He realized that he was starting to tap into something here, and so he went home and he blessed his family. He took back the words. He apologized for what words he'd spoken over them over the years, which may not have been great. And he took those words back, and then he blessed them. And each one of them had a powerful encounter with God when they were blessed. He then started to bless every room in his house twice every week. He started to bless every room in his house. And so, for example, like the bedroom, he would bless that with peace, restful peace, like good sleep. Be really restorative. And he said over time, the culture, the atmosphere in his home really started to change. And it changed so much that he said revival actually started to break out in his home before it broke out in Brownsville, which was quite interesting. You know, I bought a car recently, and I took it back, but I did buy it. But when I was taking it to the mechanic to have a look at, I could just sense, it was a secondhand car, I'd done quite a few kilometres, and I just sensed that it had a lot of history. Like, obviously, who knows what conversations, what it was used for, and I thought, well, if I buy this car, I'll just bless it and take back whatever's been spoken over it. And I did end up buying it, and it just didn't have a good feel about it. So I actually blessed the car, and I just, you know, just spoke to the spirit realm that, you know, I'm the new owner here, and I just take back you know, anything which has gone in the past, I just cancel that out in Jesus' name. And my car just got filled with peace. It was pretty cool. You know, these are just a few stories testifying to the power of a blessing. However, we see the power of blessing all throughout the Bible too. In Genesis 27, the story of Isaac blessing his sons Jacob and Esau is one of them. You know, Isaac knew the power of a blessing, and he knew that when he blessed his sons and his firstborn son, there was going to be power in that. And his wife, Rebecca, also knew that. However, she really wanted her younger son, Jacob, to get the blessing. And so she kind of went to great lengths to work things out so that Jacob was actually given the blessing. And when Isaac found out, he wasn't very impressed that he'd been tricked into blessing his younger son with the older son's blessing. But it was too late. He couldn't take it back. And the blessings that Isaac gave his sons were very powerful and actually came to pass. You know, a lot of the prophets around the world are saying that we're on the verge of the biggest revival the world has ever seen. And I know there's been a lot of prophetic words spoken over this church. Jim's had some. He's been waiting for something for 20 years. And every so often we keep getting encouragements to say that he hasn't forgotten us, just to hang in there. Just keep believing and trusting. And he's going to show up. Because, you know, in the Bible, we just had the 40th celebration for Westside recently. And, you know, Jim was talking about how there were many of the greats there, they had to wait. They had to go through wilderness periods where it seemed like nothing was happening and the promises they'd been given weren't going to come to pass. So, but they hung on to it in faith, and it's so important for us just to hang on to the promises God has given us. I know many of you have had dreams or visions about what is coming. I keep getting visions and dreams. Probably the most powerful one that I had, though, was a couple of years ago when I had this dream where I was just walking, and I've shared this before, but I'll share it again only because I think it's really good to keep encouraging ourselves of the testimonies of what God is promising, what he's going to do, and just to keep encouraging ourselves. And in this dream, I was walking along the water's edge, and for some reason I had a fishing rod, which I don't fish, but I decided to throw this fishing line in the water just to see if I could catch a fish. And I was quite surprised. Straight away, I got a bite, so I started to reel it in, and I was quite shocked to see the biggest, hugest, chunkiest fish I've ever seen in my life. And it was actually really easy to reel this fish in, though. And then suddenly I woke up, and the presence of God was in my bedroom, and I just really sensed the Lord saying that what is coming is going to be way greater than you could ever possibly imagine. And I just took a lot of encouragement from that. You know, what are your dreams? What will your world look like when God starts to powerfully touch it? You know, what will your community look like? Do you ever dream this kind of thing, what things could look like in the future? You know, what will your family look like? What will the schools, your workplace, our centenary suburbs? In Ephesians 3:20, it says, Glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You know, God wants to, and I believe he wants to do so much more through our lives than we could ever possibly imagine. Now, a couple of months ago, I was sitting in a cafe in Caloundra, And I was just reading an article by Graham Cook, and he was saying that, you know, God wants to partner with us to dream, to have big, to have some big dreams. He wants to do so much more than we possibly could imagine, that we need to start dreaming with him, in surrender to him, so that we can see some really good things start to happen. And after I read that article, I suddenly was reminded of the story of Nineveh and Jonah. You know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to tell the people there that they, you know, they needed to repent. And if they didn't, he was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Obviously, Jonah wasn't, he didn't really want to do that. And he spent a few eventful days on a bit of a ride. And then he decided to go to Nineveh and to tell the people that, you know, you guys need to turn away from your wicked ways. You need to repent or God's going to wipe you out. And they listened. It says the whole community put on sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted and prayed. Even the leader of that community, he did the same thing, and he told them to, you know, repent of your wicked ways, and all the people did. And as I was thinking of that story, and I thought, you know, God, technically, if you've done that once before, you can do that again. And I started to just think about, like, what would look like if God just so powerfully turned up here in the Centenary suburbs? And I started to imagine what would happen if God moved so powerfully here that, you know, everyone, just the presence of God was so strong here that everyone here just had a powerful encounter with the love of God. They had a revelation of what their need for Jesus. And just imagine that if you're in this community, you bowed your knee to the Lord. And I thought, and I said to God, oh, I'm feeling something. I said to God, if you're, God, if this is something you want to partner with, if you really want us to aim that high, to believe and dream with you that high, then let me know. You know, I can believe for crazy stuff, but, you know, just confirm that if you really want us to dream that big with you for things to happen. And later that day, I went for a walk, and I have... on my iPad, I've got an audio version of the Bible, and it's set out in a really, really poor way. Like, it doesn't actually have an index, so you don't know where the books of the Bible are in it. It's kind of set out in chapters, like chapter 3 could actually be Exodus chapter 4 to 10. It's like you have no clue what you're listening to. And so you certainly cannot look up a passage in the Bible and listen to it without having a lot of time up your sleeve. Anyway, I really, that day, I just felt I wanted to listen to something in the New Testament, so I kind of just randomly hit where I thought the New Testament might be, and I just thought, whatever I land on, I'll listen to. However, I missed, and I actually landed right in the story where Jonah went to Nineveh and started to say to him, Jonah went to Nineveh to tell the people they needed to repent, or they're going to be wiped out. And I thought, yeah, that's a bit funny. the Bible's a big book, you know, and you know, to listen to that whole entire Bible, I don't know how many hours it'd take, it'd be days, but, you know, I'd ask God to confirm, do you really want us to dream this big with you for things to happen, for you to move powerfully, and ask him to confirm it. And I landed on that very paragraph of the Jonah story when he went back to Nineveh. You know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I really do believe that God wants us to dream with him. Obviously, we want to be doing dreams which are within his will and his desire, but I really believe he wants us to dream big. Let me read the Ephesians 3:20 again. It says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You know, whatever, according to this passage, whatever your greatest dreams are, that's nothing compared to what God wants to and can do. It's almost like our wildest dreams are almost like the starting point for what God can do. You know, what are your wildest dreams? And I'm not talking about like someone walking down the road hands you a check for $10 million and you go and put up your feet on a deserted island for the rest of your life. I'm talking about dreams which are going to make a difference for eternity, where you're partnering with God, listening with him in surrender, and just believing him for big things, for him to really, things that are going to reverberate for all of eternity, dreams that will influence people and situations forever. I've got a dream, which I'll share with you, if that's okay. You know, I know there's power and blessing. You know, some of these stories we've heard and some of you have experienced some things that testify to that. But I also know that God can do more through us than we ever can imagine. And I feel he really confirmed that through that Jonah story for me, that he really wants to work with us to dream big for God to really impact our neighborhoods. And so I guess my dream is to see, I'd love to see God move powerfully in Centenary suburbs, and I believe he will. And I guess as part of the what I would like to see is, I guess I believe that this is what I'm believing for, that God's going to move powerfully. But as part of the working out of that, I have a dream to see every single house in Centenary suburbs have a blessing spoken out of it. So I don't mean a door knocking and doing that. I mean like someone actually standing out the front of every single house in Centenary suburbs and speaking a blessing over it. Now I realize that's a pretty big thing and that'll take a very, very long time to do. So I thought, I want to start with Jamboree Heights. Like, I really believe there's power and blessing. I know many of you do as well. And I want to bless all of these houses. And then I thought, no, but my dream is to see all of Centenary suburbs have a blessing spoken out over it. And then I started to think, well, what if every church in this area took hold of their suburb, which they're actually in, and they actually blessed all the houses in their particular suburb. And I thought, you know, maybe we could all come to do that one afternoon, all come together for afternoon tea in unity, because so often different denominations, we kind of concentrate on our differences rather than celebrating our unity. And so it says in John 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And in Psalm 133:1-3, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity together." You know, God loves unity, and I believe that love and unity are going to be a big part of this coming revival. So I guess my dream is to see God move powerfully in this place and to see unity with the different churches. But I guess these are my dreams. What are your dreams? What are you believing for? You know, if you don't really have any God dreams, then ask God for some, and that he'd want to partner with. You know, dreams that are going to make a difference thing for a fraternity in your schools, in your universities and suburbs, and then for strategies for how you can speak blessing over those areas. I guess one thing that is important, that when we bless people or situations, is that we really mean it from the heart, and that it's lined up with God's heart and God's will. In Leviticus 9:22-24, it says, "After that, Aaron raised his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then, after presenting the sin offering and burnt offering and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground." You know, what a difference it made when they blessed out of a place of encounter, when meeting with God. You know, they'd gone into the tabernacle and came out, and it was after that they blessed the people that God moved powerfully. You know, one thing is when we're, I guess before I was talking about how, you know, there's quite a few people in the Bible who went through wilderness and they had to really wait for quite a long time for God to show up and do what he promised. And I guess one thing that stands out, people like Joseph, David, and Abraham are just a few, but so many of them kept a really soft heart, and they really protected their heart against just criticism and bitterness and anything like that. I love how David actually wrote a song about Saul after he died. However, it wasn't a song about, like, yay, finally you're dead. He was actually writing a song of honor to actually celebrate the life of Saul, even though Saul had caused him a lot of grief, obviously. You know, many of you have dreams and have been given prophetic words for the future. And I guess some of them may see them... sorry, I'm losing my voice. I guess some of them may seem like a long way off, or like, how on earth are they going to come to pass? But I guess what is really important is that we guard our hearts and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and what he says and not on the things around us. That we're speaking out words of blessing and blessings of life, words of life and blessing over these things, and just to block out the critics and the other voices, and that we don't start to whinge and speak out doom and gloom. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And in 1 Peter 3:8, "Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be humble." That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and you'll also get a blessing. I guess the enemy, not I guess, he is. The enemy is terrified of us because he knows the power and authority that you have because of who lives inside of you. He's terrified because he knows that you're a son or a daughter of the King if you're born again. You know, he knows that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And he knows how dangerous God's children can be once they grasp and start moving in the authority, including walking in the power of blessing. You know, Satan is terrified because he knows that once God's children start to dream and grasp how big and how God is able to do so much more than they could ever dare to dream or hope, and that he wants to do so much more than their wildest dreams. I guess in a moment, I'm going to pray, and I just want to ask God to come and to put some dreams on our hearts, some things which we can start partnering with him, things that are going to matter for a difference for eternity. It's dreams that are actually going to be, how could things look different around you in your family, in your sporting place, in sporting clubs, school and uni, and then for strategies for how we can bless those things. After I do that, we're going to have just a bit of a silence or a bit of music on before we start singing some songs. And during that time, I just have a listen to God and to see if he's saying anything to you. After that, we're going to, the band's going to come up and they're going to keep playing. They're just going to keep playing songs, so you're welcome to come or go whenever you like. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we need you so much. We know that there is so much more that you want to do to us and you want us to experience as individuals in the church, and that there's really no limit to what you're capable of doing through us. Lord, we want to see our family and our community and our world around us touched and changed by you. And Lord, I just ask that each one of us would just have a powerful, life-changing encounter with your love. We need your love. We need to have a fresh revelation of your love, God. May it be so powerful that we'll never be the same again, but forever changed. Lord, I just ask that in this reflection time that dreams would be birthed into people's hearts, and that any you wish to partner with, that, Lord, you just confirm that powerfully in their spirits as we're doing that. Father, if people have got dreams they let go of, but you're wanting them to pick it up again, Lord, I just ask that you would bring that to their mind again and just breathe on these dreams. Lord, I just ask for strategies for how we can speak blessing into these dreams so that we can move forward to seeing them become a reality. So, amen.